Mr. Downing.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. For the record, my name is Thomas Downing. I'm the attorney for the County of DuPage and Joseph Burkett, State Attorney for DuPage in his official capacity. This is an appeal from a fee award granted to plaintiffs where the underlying lawsuit was dismissed on grounds of mootness. It relates to the plaintiff's First Amendment claims against the county's adult business use ordinance and also the First Amendment claim against the state for its 1998 amendment to a state statute that prohibits adult entertainment facilities from locating within 1,000 feet of a forest preserve. The County of DuPage first enacted its adult business use ordinance in 1986 pursuant to the requirements of the Supreme Court's decision in Renton. It was in 1998 that the state amended a provision in the county's code that added the buffer zone restriction of 1,000 feet prohibiting adult entertainment establishments such as the establishment proposed by the plaintiff that would involve erotic dance and a striptease facility. Shortly after that 1998 amendment to the county code by the state legislature, the county zoning administrator proposed to amend its adult business use ordinance for the sole reason of tracking the same provisions that are found in the state law. The plaintiff brings this brought the lawsuit under Section 1983 and 1998, and the complaint itself stipulates that the sole reason that the county amended its ordinance was because of the change in the state law. The party stipulated that that was the sole reason that the county amended its ordinance was to comply and to track the state law. And all the evidence in this case shows that that was the reason why the county took that action. The plaintiff's First Amendment claims against the state were dismissed on grounds of sovereign immunity because no state official, and indeed no county official, had threatened to take any action against the proposal to locate this facility within 1,000 feet of the forest preserve. However, when we came to summary judgment, Judge Kaur granted the plaintiff's partial summary judgment with regard to the county's ordinance. And in the course of granting summary judgment, Judge Kaur looked at the particular location in question here and took into consideration the factors and circumstances of the particular forest preserve that was a close location to their facility. That was the Fern Marsh Forest Preserve. And the court noted that this was a type of forest preserve facility that did not have a lot of traffic. It had nature trails and it was a little bit more remote than other types of forest preserve facilities. But the court had a particular concern that the county, if it was acting independently, they would have to do a study, and it should have looked at this particular parcel a little bit more closely and deemed that this proposed adult entertainment facility would have a minimal impact on this particular forest preserve because of its location, the nature of the use, and the fact that there was no other location that an adult entertainment facility could exist within the unincorporated areas of DuPage County. The reasons for the changes in the demographics of the county, I think the court is well aware of because of the growth in that area, and it has created a problem for counties such as DuPage to accommodate these kinds of businesses where the nearby municipalities annexed commercial property, industrial property that might otherwise be more suited for accommodating the businesses of this nature. After summary judgment was granted to the plaintiffs on this one issue, the county decided to moot the entire case out. There were other challenges in the case regarding the conditional use aspects and other procedures that the plaintiffs would have been required to follow to otherwise locate their business there. And the county taking the position that this truly is a state policy and they merely wanted to track the state policy, the county decided to moot the entire case out, amended the ordinance so that there was no longer the 1,000-foot restriction. And upon changing the ordinance, Judge Court dismissed the case on grounds of mootness. And it's for this reason, similar to prior decisions of this court, that the plaintiffs cannot be deemed to be a prevailing party. They did not obtain an enforceable judgment. They did not obtain their objective in the lawsuit. It was their objective to challenge the 1,000-foot restriction. Because the state officials were dismissed from the case, they did not prevail on that issue, and that state law still remains in effect. I believe my time is up for now, and I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Downing.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Lee.
May it please the Court. Your Honors, the county's position appears essentially to be that because the final result in this case, the final order, was a dismissal on the grounds of mootness, there can be no recovery of attorney's fees under Section 1988 because the plaintiffs were not prevailing parties. In fact, counsel for the county has told you today that the mootness arose because after the partial summary judgment in the case on March 29th, of 2001, the county decided to moot the case out. So there's really no dispute here on the chronology. The court reached and invalidated the county's forest preserve separation requirement for adult business uses, and after that, the county decided to moot the case out. Now, we respectfully submit that the county's position would, in the first place, exalt form high over substance by looking only at the formal quality of the final order and ignoring the quality and the fact that the partial summary judgment in March had in fact changed the legal relations of the parties. And even if it hadn't, it certainly put a judicial imprimatur on the change that the county then decided to make.
How do you distinguish this from Federation?
Well, I think the case is easily distinguishable, Your Honor. In Federation, the initial ruling was appealed, unlike the present case, and almost all of it was reversed. There was a tiny bit of the ruling that was preserved, but that ruling didn't help the appellants in that case because the court merely agreed that an exception to the ordinance in that case was inappropriate. So that part of the part of the ruling that was reversed on appeal, I'm sorry, that was preserved on appeal, actually expanded the scope of the ordinance in that case. The substance of that ruling was reversed. Had the county not amended its ordinance, or even had it amended its ordinance and announced its intention to replace its ordinance, it could have taken an appeal from Judge Kaur's invalidation of the forest preserve separation requirement. It did not do so. And that distinguishes Federation because here the party claiming to be a prevailing party has actually prevailed, whereas in Federation the party prevailed only for a short time and only erroneously according to this court's view of things. Not only would the county's position exalt form over substance, Your Honors, it would create perverse litigation incentives for parties trying cases such as this. And we can compare and we can contrast what happened in this case with the forest preserve separation requirement with what happened to the challenge to the special use requirement for all adult uses. That was challenged in the trial court as an impermissible prior restraint on expression. For various reasons, Judge Kaur says he misunderstood a line in one of my briefs. Judge Kaur thought that he didn't need to reach that issue once he'd invalidated the separation requirements. Now, we could have rushed in and corrected that. The county at that point announced that they were going to repeal that provision as well. If we'd been worried about preserving our attorney's fees, indeed, we would have rushed to correct that misapprehension and asked the judge to invalidate that as well. But we understood below that to save the court's time, and cases are better settled if they're settleable than litigated in all circumstances. And we understood after Buckhannon the effect that that judgment on those fees we're going to have on our fee request. And we never requested fees in connection with the challenge to the special use requirement. But to say that a party who sits back and waits a final judgment in order to clear up a case, in order to settle a case, in order to resolve a dispute and save the court the expenditure of resources and the effort of deciding a case, to say that under those circumstances a defendant, civil rights defendant, can decide, as counsel says, to moot the case out and thereby eliminate the prevailing party status under Section 1988 would in fact create litigation incentives that I've called perverse and would not have a good effect on the proceedings in the trial courts. We respectfully submit that Section 1988 should be interpreted so as not to create those kinds of litigation incentives. And if a party, as Palmetto found, essentially got relief on one issue, the opponent then said, we're going essentially, we've decided to moot out the rest of the issues, Palmetto shouldn't be forced to the choice between its attorney's fees and cooperating in a prompt resolution of the litigation. It was, in fact, after this March 29th partial summary judgment, there was no matter of substance that Judge Kaur needed to reach. In fact, the case resolved itself. It took a little while to resolve itself, but it resolved itself with no further substantive litigation. The county somehow argues that it was forced by the state statute. And by the way, Judge Kaur didn't reach the state statute in this case because he expressly held that no one ever threatened to enforce it against Palmetto. Turns out Judge Kaur was correct. We were worried that somebody would come in and try to enforce it, but nobody did and nobody has. Palmetto has opened its gentlemen's club and operated it with the necessary county approval, and it's operated it now for nearly 2 years. The statute has not been enforced. Judge Kaur failed to reach the statute only for that reason. The statute, by the way, suffers from identical substantive problems to the ordinance provision that Judge Kaur reached and invalidated, and that's perhaps another reason why nobody sought to enforce the statute against Palmetto. And if that's the case, then in a perhaps somewhat more abstract sense, Judge Kaur's judicial imprimatur has had an effect, even insofar as the enforcement of the statute is concerned. The county's final suggestion is that it was, for some reason, forced to put in its ordinance separation requirements that were identical with the state statute. I think the fact that they've changed those separation requirements, while the state statute had remained the same, essentially belies that argument. But in any event, there was never a requirement that the county's zoning ordinance track each of the land use requirements of state statute. And the county, in the litigation below, threatened to enforce its own ordinance separation requirement and never threatened, as Judge Kaur ultimately found, never threatened to enforce the statutory requirement. So the argument that somehow the county should escape the consequences of litigating to a judgment because the original motivation for this 1,000-foot separation requirement came from state statute, I think, falls flat. The county decided to assert its own ordinance requirement in the litigation below. It decided to take the case to judgment on that issue. Judge Kaur had decided below everything he was going to decide on that issue before the county, by its own admission here today, decided after the March 29th partial summary judgment to moot the case out. We suggest that that was a sensible move by the county. We suggest that it saved further litigation, but it doesn't account for the county's litigation posture up to that point. Judge Kaur's fee award, carefully limited to the fees that were generated in challenge to the separation requirement in the ordinance. We suggest that that fee award represents the natural consequences under Section 1988 of the county's litigation behavior. If the court has any further questions, I'd be happy to address them. If not, we respectfully request that this court affirm the award below.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Downing, you have 4 minutes.
Your Honor, the first problem with the plaintiff's argument is that they want it both ways. One, they want to say that the county is going to be responsible for their ordinance because their ordinance is independent from the state. Yet at the same time, they want to say that they won and they're not really subject to the state law because they were successful on the county. They can't have it both ways, and either way they look at it, either way you view it, they're going to lose one way or the other. They just can't have it both ways. Either it was a state law that was the basis for the lawsuit and the state law applied to them, or if it's the county ordinance being separate, then there is no decision on the state law. I think the plaintiff acknowledges that if they wanted to, he's concerned about some sort of inappropriate litigation tactics being taken by defendants in these kinds of cases. He acknowledged that if he wanted to, he could have gotten rid of the rest of his case, and he could have taken an immediate appeal on the issue that he prevailed. I think that he acknowledged that they could have continued to pursue litigation in this case. They could have gotten rid of the other issues in the case, and they could have made the summary judgment order the final order, or they could have appealed the issue that they lost with regard to the state law and taken that up, recognizing that the county ordinance really was in furtherance of the state law. And the evidence is uncontradicted. It's stipulated by the parties that the sole reason that the county took the action that it did was simply for the purpose of tracking the state law. They pled it in their case, and all the evidence in the case says that this is the sole reason why they acted. The county could not take any action to change the state law. You know, whether they put it in their ordinance or if they would have brought a separate lawsuit to seek an injunction, there's nothing that they could have done to give permission to the plaintiffs to operate this type of facility in violation of the state law. I think that concludes the points that we want to make. I think, Your Honor, we ask that you reverse the fee award.
Thank you, Mr. Downing. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.